I'm Sean Yoes, your host. Thank you for joining us for our first of 2 hours on this Tuesday. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, First Edition 88.9, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That is my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page. If you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me, I'll share it with the people unless you don't want me to. And, of course, I will not. Coming up in the second hour of the show, very interesting exhibit we're going to be talking about. We'll be joined by Pia Jordan. She's project director of the Tuskegee Army Nurses. Keep them flying. She's also assistant professor of multimedia journalism here at the School of Global Journalism and Communication. So we'll get into that at 6 o'clock hour. Then it is producer Iori Odigizua's takeover of First Edition. She has an interview with ABC News entertainment producer Joy Marie McKenzie, talking about her new book. So Iori's going to take over the last part of the show. Hey, she can have it. That's all coming up in the second hour of the show. Very proud of her. A little bit later in this first hour, we're going to open the phone lines. I said it during my promo with Bass. Rumors are swirling around the city right now. They started this morning, been inundated by emails, some phone calls, people suggesting and arguing, saying emphatically that Police Commissioner Kevin Davis will be fired or will resign. The people who are talking about this, some of them seem to be in position to know, or suggesting that it could happen today. It has not happened yet, but we're going to ask the question. Obviously, the question is swirling to a great extent because of the epic violence we have faced over the last few weeks. Well, over the entire year, quite frankly, let's be real about it. And obviously the misconduct scandals with the department. But the question is simple. I mean, should the commissioner be fired, or is he simply a convenient scapegoat? I mean, would firing Police Commissioner Kevin Davis help us in any way? I think the jury is out. Pardon the pun. It is unclear to me, and I think a lot of people, if firing Kevin Davis is the answer, the somehow the panacea to all our problems in this city as far as crime, homicide, violence is concerned. But we will put the question to the listeners at 5:30. The number is 410-319-8888. Before we get to law enforcement, we have to deal with the final vote by the Baltimore City Council on Mayor Catherine Pugh's budget. I think I said $2.6 billion earlier. I think the number is actually $2.8 billion, but I'm going to ask the man who knows. That is Luke Broadwater of the Baltimore Sun. Luke joins us for a report. Luke, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is it 2.6 or 2.8?
2.8.
2.8. All right. I said 2.8. I had it in my notes 2.8,
hey,
but I said 2.8.
That stuff happens.
It happens all the time. So, Luke, after some fairly remarkable skirmishing, quite frankly, during the actual process, everybody seemed to come together. And in the words of Council President Bernard Jack Young, we all won, quote unquote. Did everybody win?
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
I think some observers might say that the council got what it wanted. But the mayor did have to cut some of her pet projects.
Right.
She is very much into a new streetlight program that would put 6,000 new streetlights up around the city, and she cut half of that to funnel more money to schools. And she cut they have these new high-tech trash cans that
sort of like mini trash compactors, I guess.
Yeah, they compress the trash based on sunlight, and then they send a message when they're full to the to DPW, and they come and pick them up, and that's supposed to really help cut down on the litter we see all over Baltimore. But they're not they cut some of those as well, and other projects that the mayor really wanted. This was all to give more money to the schools, more money to after school programs, and to fund safe streets.
Right.
What avoided cuts, for the most part, was the police department.
Right. I want to get into that in a minute, but let me ask you a question, Luke, about these streetlights. I mean, I don't know what kind of information you have on what is the mayor's position, because obviously this was something that is important to her. I think it is one of her signature initiatives, I guess you would call it. Mm-hmm. What is her position on what these streetlights ultimately do? I mean, outside of the obvious of providing more light for the city when people travel, I mean, is there some sort of a specific correlation that she sees that is helpful, at least in her mind, to the betterment of our communities?
Yeah, she has talked about them not only just lighting up dark neighborhoods, but also she thinks it would help prevent crime. She thinks people feel more safe when you walk down a block at night that's well lit instead of being dark. I can remember I went out to visit a woman in East Baltimore not too long ago, and every light but one on her whole block was out.
Right.
And this is a poor part of East Baltimore.
Right.
So, and you can see how sort of that doesn't happen in the richer parts of town.
Sure.
And so this street lighting initiative was supposed to really fix a lot of those broken street lights that were around the city. But again, that's one of the things that had to be put on the chopping block. And the mayor does tie that to crime reduction. I'm not sure there's evidence to say that does or doesn't do it, but I guess it stands to reason that if blocks are well lit, people might feel more safe.
No, fair enough. I think I assume that was the overarching kind of thought about it. Just wanted to be specific if there was something else that the mayor was connecting the addition of these streetlights, significant connection. I mean, rather addition of streetlights to city streets. So we know there the main goal of the city council in this whole process was to direct more money to public school, to schools and after school programs. Schools got $10 million more dollars. After school programs got $2.4 million. And you also mentioned the Safe Streets program, $1.5 million. Given the massive budget deficit of the city school system, how much does that $10 million help?
It may help, according to the school CEO, it may help prevent some future layoffs.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it wasn't enough to prevent any of the 115 layoffs that have already gone through.
Right.
They're hoping they can maybe call a few people back with some of that money.
Okay.
But, you know, the school's budget deficit was $130 million.
Right.
And then I think they got some money from the state, some money from the city, but it wasn't enough to prevent all these layoffs. So here's a little bit more. And remember, it's $10 million over 3 years what they gave. So it's only $3.3 million for the next year. That'll save a few jobs, I think, but it's not going to save a lot of jobs.
Okay. And Safe Streets, a program that has had, at least by most metrics, great success. Yet the federal funding, I guess, for it ran out, and it was left out in the cold until the budget process brought it back.
Yes, and what we've seen, unfortunately, and I think everyone would agree this is unfortunate, is that in the past half a year or so, the mayor's Office of Criminal Justice has really fallen apart. There's no director, half the people have left, and some of the signature initiatives that were coordinated, at least in part through the office, such as Ceasefire and Safe Streets, have really fallen apart. The mayor spokesman just said over the weekend that Ceasefire no longer is operational, and that Safe Streets lost its grant funding. Now, obviously, this $1.5 million helped save the existing Safe Streets program, but a lot of people in the city council want to see it expanded to 9 sites. Right now, we only have, I think, 4 sites.
Okay.
So this just maintains the current level of Safe Streets. It doesn't expand it. And if you think that these programs work, that they're innovative, that they really can intervene in neighborhood violence, then you know, people in the city council really want to see more of that, not just the same.
I mean, Safe Streets is not without its controversy, but at the same time, there are some empirical evidence that proves that it was effective, at least on some levels.
Yeah, certainly the health commissioner thinks so. She has plenty of numbers and data to back that up, that whenever these Safe Streets programs are funded in a neighborhood, these ex-offenders come in, they talk to the young guys, they hear when a neighborhood dispute is really heating up, and they go cool it down and prevent a shooting.
Right. Understood. So as far as the actual after-school program money, $2.4 million, how does that break down specifically, Luke?
Yeah, so that that money is money that goes to the Family League, and they use it to fund 6 community schools and something like 20 after-school programs. And that provides, you know, things to do, educational opportunities for more than 2,000 kids.
Okay.
So it is that's a lot of children. And this, of course, was extra funding that was put in the budget in 2015 by Mayor Rawlings-Blake after the unrest. And every year, the budget office has cut this from the budget. Wow. And then every year, mayors have been forced by the council and by community activists to put it back in. Council President Jack Young gave a special shout out to a young organizer who he said really pressed the council and pressed the mayor to do the right thing in her view here and add that money in. And her name is Samira Franklin. And
right.
She's a really a great young leader.
19-year-old young lady who was tireless in her advocacy for these programs.
Yes, yeah. Well, yeah, I've met with her. She's very impressive, and we will be hearing big things from her for much of her life, I think.
Well, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yose, your host. I'm on the phone with our friend Luke Broadwater of the Baltimore Sun. We're going over the details of yesterday's final budget vote by the Baltimore City Council, $2.8 billion budget of Mayor Catherine Pugh, mainly intact, some cuts to some initiative, some of her initiatives, pet initiatives, I guess you can call them. You can call them all kinds of things. But for the most part, the budget intact after, the two sides coming together and, coming together over some of these issues that were on the table, more funding for schools and after-school programs and Safe Streets, three major victories for the city council here. Let's go to the police budget, Luke, because initially the fact that there was money, the report came out that there was going to be a major cut of law enforcement in Baltimore. And then we found out that that cut was only actually $2 million and it was only supposed to be designated for administration. But we find out now that there was actually money added to law enforcement. Is that accurate?
That's right.
Okay.
There was a lot of big chest thumping and bold statements by some on the council, especially the council president, that he was going to cut $10 million from police, and really $0 were actually cut by the council for police. The mayor's budget actually increases funding for the police department by $17
million. Wow.
It does do some minor cuts to individual programs, such as it grounds one of the 4 Foxtrot helicopters. But overall, it's an increase. And so at all the talk of the city council cutting from police did not materialize. At first, it was going to be a $10 million cut. Then they actually just proposed a $2 million cut. And then in the final budget deal, they took that cut out. So there was no cut to the police.
So, but ultimately, there was a $17 million addition to law enforcement last year.
Yeah, so they kept Mayor Pugh's proposal intact. And so it's $17 million more. That means the police department will be receiving $497 million this next year in comparison to $480 million this year. And that's not obviously doesn't count overtime, overtime overruns, which inevitably occur,
which could add several tens of millions.
Yeah, year we're going to run over the overtime budget by about $24 million or so. So that's You know, so that's going to put this year's police budget well over $500 million. And, you know, next year's police budget will start $17 million, even higher than that.
What much was made about Donald Frye lobbying to make sure that no money was taken away from law enforcement? He seemed to get his way, obviously. But how does the city council, how does the mayor, how do all the advocates or the people who were advocating on behalf of increasing the budget for the Baltimore City Police Department, how do they kind of resolve that given what this department has been through over the last few years, the misconduct, the disarray? How that doesn't seem to add up, if you will.
Yeah, so, I mean, these are people who look at the level of crime in the city now, and they say, we need more police. We can't cut the police.
Right.
That type of thinking. You know, and so something had to give in the budget. And what ended up giving is, environment stuff, you know, trash pickup, recycling, new trash cans, lights. I mean, things that a lot of people want and think are important. And the police department didn't get cut. I know that the GBC was lobbying on behalf of the police department. I know that Kevin Davis and others were presenting before the city council, meeting with the mayor, and saying that even though our budget is higher, we actually have fewer officers, so we can't sustain any cuts. This was their argument, because they have fewer officers. And we're just paying people higher salaries and larger pensions. But, you know, for years, people have argued that as police spending has consistently risen, the crime rate has not dropped along with that spending.
Right.
And so are we really getting the bang for our buck when we invest those dollars there?
Indeed. Let me, before I let you go, Luke, I'm calling a bit of an audible, but I want to help set us up for the next segment. I think you've been hearing the rumors as well as I have about the fate of the police commissioner.
Yes.
Anything to report?
Well, we know that these rumors were going around everywhere today, and Kevin Davis was asked by reporters directly at his press conference whether he was resigning or leaving the department or being forced out, and he said the rumors were false. So that's what he said publicly about it. We know that the mayor's office has denied it as well.
Right.
I think what may be driving some of the rumors is that we see no turnaround in the violence. In fact, we see the violence getting worse. 6 killed in Baltimore since Monday night, and it doesn't, to many people, it doesn't seem like that the police department is getting the job done in terms of stopping violence. So I think that's fueling some of it. Who knows? The average term of a police commissioner in Baltimore is about 2 years.
Right.
Kevin Davis has been here 2 years.
Yeah.
If you're not seeing results, when will the calls for him to be removed reach the mayor's ear and she agree with them?
So, and part of the reason I think why Kevin Davis was even in position to be asked that question was because there was a press conference that was scheduled in response to the 6 deaths basically overnight. What was the response of the department? What did they say they were going to actually do as far as those 6 deaths or the spike in violence the spike in violence that we've witnessed over the last few days?
Sure. He rolled out a plan to have 12-hour shifts, which he said would give them a better response. He said effectively immediately there will be mandatory 12-hour shifts for all patrol officers and detectives, and every sworn officer in the department would be deploying to the street.
Mm.
He said that would mean more officers in cars, more foot patrols to conduct enforcement based on intelligence. And he said that he was having academy classes going out to hand out flyers to try to get community tips to solve some of these murders. Doing the thing that police commissioners often do when there's a spike in violence, and that's send more people out on patrol.
Right. So 12-hour mandatory 12-hour shifts for officers, detectives, just trying to increase the presence on the streets, obviously.
Yes.
All right. Luke Broadwater is a reporter for the Baltimore Sun. Luke, we always appreciate your reporting on these issues. Thank you so much, man.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right. We're going to take a quick break, but here's the thing. We're going to open the phone lines. People are already lined up in line to talk about Police Commissioner Kevin Davis. The rumors, as I said, and Luke and I just discussed, have been swirling wildly that Commissioner Davis is on his way out, either going to resign or be fired. We don't know this to be true, but we have to ask the question of our listeners. Should Commissioner Davis, in the wake of this epic violence that has transpired not just in the past few weeks, but over this entire year, in the wake of epic violence, a misconduct within the department, should the commissioner be fired? Or is this, again, is Kevin Davis just a convenient scapegoat? Is firing him going to help anything? I think a lot of people are torn about this. What do you all think, though? That's why we're asking the question. We want to know what our listeners think. The number is 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. We will open the phone lines after the break. You are listening to First Edition. Welcome back to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host, as we make the transition from the budget, Baltimore City budget, passed last night, $2.8 billion budget. The actual budget added money to law enforcement. About $17 million was added to law enforcement, according to our friend Luke Broadwater of the Baltimore Sun, bringing the total slice of law enforcement's budget to $497 million, almost a half a billion dollars of the $2.8 billion budget. You know, I'm pretty good at math, so that's about a little less than a quarter, right? Yeah, one, two, three, four. Yeah, a little less than a quarter. Well, almost $3 billion, but you get the meaning. It's a lot of money, $497 million for the law enforcement budget. In the wake of that budget increase for the Baltimore City Police Department, despite epic violence in the city, 150-plus murders, I think we're at 154 now. We have not Father's Day is this weekend, and we're at 154 murders per capita, I believe. We are number one, unfortunately. It's a dubious distinction, of course. Number one in homicides in the United States. Obviously, Chicago has more homicides, but Chicago is way bigger than Baltimore. Over 3 million people in Chicago versus a little over 600,000 in Baltimore. Shootings every night. 6 people killed overnight last night, according to police. This is the state that we find our city in. And the rumor mill has been running rampant today. Rumors swirling all about. A lot of people have reached out to me. Some have suggested that Kevin Davis, his time as police commissioner is near an end, that either he is going to be fired or resign. According to the mayor's office, a flat denial. I believe the word was nonsense from the mayor's office. The commissioner himself denied it, saying the rumors are not true as far as him either resigning or being fired. Yet the rumors persist. And there are reasons for that. But the question we want to ask, should Kevin Davis, the police commissioner, he's been on the job, as Luke Broadwater said over a little over 2 years, I think now. Should he indeed be fired in the wake of this epic violence that we're experiencing, homicides, shootings, hundreds of shootings already this year? Should he be fired, or is he simply would he be acting as simply a scapegoat for issues that have plagued our city for not just decades but generations? Would he be a scapegoat for a command staff that seems entrenched in the Baltimore City Police Department? Police commissioners come and go, But the major players in the command staff seem to stay all the time. There seems to be very little changes within the command staff of the Baltimore City Police Department. So I think that there are a significant number of people who would argue that firing Kevin Davis is not going to help anything when it comes down to the issues of violence and homicide and misconduct that we face within the department and as a city. I think some people would make the same argument about Anthony Batch. He was the commissioner during the uprising, but the problems that were plaguing the department at the time of the uprising were long in place before Anthony Batch ever came onto the scene. But we ask you the question. The question is not for me. The question is for you all, the listeners of First Edition and WEAA. The number is 410-319-8888. Should Commissioner Davis be fired, or is he being set up to be a convenient scapegoat in the wake of this epic violence that we have experienced as a city over these last few weeks and, quite frankly, over this entire year? Let's go to the phones, though. Brother Leo Burrows has been holding for a long time. Brother Leo Burrows in Bolton Hill, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, Brother Sean Yose and everyone.
Yes,
how
sir.
Are you?
Doing okay.
Well, of course, I've advocated, I stick to my guns,
okay,
that Kevin Davis be fired for his lack of competence in doing his job administratively.
Mm.
If the command staff is a problem over 10, 15, 20 years, then if you are the police commissioner and you know that, and you've been forewarned, then it seems to me you will have roll the dice. Well, that's the wrong terminology.
Yeah.
But you would have shuffled the deck, and you've gotten rid of some of that command staff and brought in new people that could be effective.
What?
We've got to hold somebody accountable, and who else in this circumstance would hold accountable but Kevin Davis? The felony incompetence of his police officers with regard to overtime, the solutions to the felony overtime theft on the part of police officers, he has not been able to address that.
But Brother Burrows, let me ask you this. I mean, I know you don't believe that overtime theft is a recent manifestation within the Baltimore City Police Department.
That is right. It's systemic.
Yeah.
And the question then becomes, is the mayor going to do it? No, evidently not. She can't do anything. So who do we hold accountable? We go back to Kevin Davis.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Daryl D'Souza being given an opportunity. He's a black deputy police commissioner who they've tried to isolate. He's been there quite a while. I think he's been there 20 years, but he's a relatively young man. I say give him a chance. He is an insider. And last but far from least, I'm looking at this public school debacle, which is related to this budget situation, understanding that the police are getting more and more of the money.
Yeah.
You fire 115 people, and when you fire them from the Baltimore City Police Department, I'm sorry, when you fire these people from the Baltimore City Public Schools, you say it's a layoff, but nobody can tell you when they're going to be restored to duty. Nobody can tell us that because there's no intent to restore them to duty.
All right.
I'm holding my city councilman and everyone else responsible.
Right.
Lieutenant Brian Rice needs to be fired. He's the guy that commanded the attack on Freddie Gray, and nothing has been done about these officers on the part of this police commissioner.
All right, Brother Burrows, thank you for your insights. We appreciate it. Indeed, all the officers connected to the death of Freddie Gray remain on the job. Some confusion about whether Cesar Goodson actually retired or not, but we continue to look into that. But let's go back to the phones. The number is 410-319-8888. The question is should Police Commissioner Kevin Davis be fired in the wake of this epic violence that we have experienced as a city, or is he simply being treated like a convenient scapegoat because of all the issues that have been a part of the fabric of the Baltimore City Police Department way before Kevin Davis ever took the chair? So let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Kimberly next in Baltimore County. Kimberly, you're on First Edition. How you doing? What do you think?
How you doing, Sean?
I'm all right.
I find it very interesting that no matter who you put in that position, it's going to end the same way.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like we talk about the same thing maybe every 3 months. It's no way. Corruption is corruption.
Mm.
And it's got to start from the uprooting within. Unfortunately, that's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, so you can fire and hire all day long. I guarantee you it's not going to lessen the numbers that we're seeing. if not increasing the numbers that we're seeing. It has to do with self-love, self-hate, things of those natures. Until we can address the inner person, you know, we're going to continuously deal with the same cycle.
Okay.
But I just say thumbs up, I guess, if that's what you think's going to work. So, but thanks again for letting me comment.
Of course, Kimberly. Thank you. We appreciate your time. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Keith in Northeast Baltimore. Keith, you're on First Edition. What do you think? Let's see if we can go back to Keith. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you hear me? Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
I think he's lost the effect of the rank and file, and I really don't think and I think that's a major reason why you have the crime. There's almost got an attitude as though after those six officers got indicted on their way to jail or whatever it is, the rank and file just said the H with it. They're not going to do it. That I think is your major problem. And Mr. Burroughs brings up a good point. You're going to have to give it to that command staff and the old buddy boy system in the city. You're going to have to start from the ground up. I hate to say this, but the city police department needs to be disbanded and start all over again.
Well, sure. Thank you, Keith. I mean, and to Keith's point, thank you for your comment, Keith. I've made the comment several times on the air that the Baltimore City Police Department perhaps could go the way of Camden, New Jersey. The police department there was taken down, disbanded totally, and rebuilt. And we've had more than one police officer text us during the Mod Squad segment and say, right on, we agree with that. It should happen. I mean, it's hard to kind of refute when members of the rank and file are agreeing with that type of drastic, that type of draconian action. It's an interesting dynamic. So let's go back to the phones, though. 410-319-8888. Should Police Commissioner Kevin Davis be fired in the wake of epic violence in the city, misconduct, corruption, or is he simply being held up as a scapegoat, a convenient scapegoat for problems, being sacrificed, if you will, for problems that have persisted and have been pervasive within the Baltimore City Police Department for decades, maybe? We want to hear what you all think. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Patrick Scientific, our friend Patrick Scientific. He wants to get into the conversation. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, to answer your question, I think he's a convenient scapegoat for the murder rate. I believe if we want to stop the murders and all the violence, that needs to be within us, the citizens of Baltimore, the neighborhood, all the people. We need to work on that, because a cop can't stop a crime. They can only arrest someone after a crime is done.
Right.
And if there's a serial killer, well, yeah, that's when you got to catch that person. That's when I can, if they're ineffective at doing that, well, yeah, there's an issue with the police department. But beyond that, we've got to do better as people to make sure that our kids and our grandkids grow up in a better place. And, of course, there's some socio-economical things going on with, like, opportunity, people doing crime just to survive and all that other stuff.
Right.
But I definitely think he's going to be a scapegoat.
Okay. All right. Patrick, thank you for your call, man. We appreciate you as always. 410-319-8888 is the number to call if you want to get into the conversation about Kevin Davis, the fate of the police commissioner. Let's go to Donna next in Baltimore. Donna, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
How you doing?
All right, sis.
I agree with your last caller. I mean, if Kevin Davis was allowed to dismantle the police department and create the police department that's functional, he took on problems that he didn't even bring in. I think it would work just like they did with Camden. So I don't agree with dismissing him. I agree with dismantling the system that was set up that he inherited, because he can't correct it unless he gets permission from the mayor and the city council to dismantle it and do what Karen Camden doing. Another thing is like your last caller just said, we as an African-American community, we have a responsibility too. I mean, we're killing each other. I mean, and it's only in certain communities. It's not all over the city. It's these same communities, and they just recycle themselves over and over again. It's mental health. We also have to get the federal government involved again, because we have had men, white males, come into Baltimore selling their 10 and 20 guns so black people can exterminate each other. This is ridiculous. So we have, we got some issues, the socioeconomics, the mental health. We got to also focus on making sure the children of the, in these families who are in violence don't repeat and grow up doing the same thing. Right. So it's like a 3 or 4 part problem that we have to do. Besides, the police department cannot go in the houses of these people and stop them from killing. The police department cannot prevent that gentleman, that young, that man from killing that 5-month-old baby. That was not going to happen. They could not stop that. That was going to happen.
Okay.
So thank you.
Donna, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yeo, your host. We're in the midst of a conversation with our listeners about the fate of Police Commissioner Kevin Davis. Rumors swirling around today wildly that Kevin Davis would be either fired or would resign from his job. Neither has happened to my knowledge so far. But we wanted to ask the question, should he be fired in the wake of this epic violence that we've experienced as a city, not just over these last couple of weeks, but over this entire year, really for the last 3 years since the uprising, of course, since that record year of homicides. We are on pace, unfortunately, at 154, I think, homicides now, to eclipse that horrible mark that we laid in 2015. So the question again for listeners, should the police commissioner be fired or is he being upheld or held up as a convenient scapegoat to kind of absolve ourselves of responsibility and guilt over issues that we have been plagued with as a city for decades and generations? Let's go back to the phones, 410-319-8888. Let's go to John in Ellicott City next. John, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Yeah, Sean, whenever you are the head of any organization, I mean, in a large organization, you know, the commissioner, he's well compensated. And when you have systemic issues that have been plaguing the city, because I grew up in Baltimore and I spend most of my time in Baltimore,
okay,
you have to make some change. I mean, that's why he gets paid. He's well compensated. And when you're the head of an organization, mm-hmm, when things are going bad and they don't seem to be on a track of improvement and you start losing the confidence of the people, you simply have, it's not a matter of being a scapegoat, but he is the head of the police department.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see, some of the stuff that I see about overtime, I mean, that kind of stuff, I don't know of any job where you can work overtime, be someplace else, and there's no check on it.
Well,
and I haven't heard anything about him installing, you know, the kind of systemic changes that you need to make.
Okay.
And that goes to the territory. He's well compensated. Yeah, you know, it doesn't seem to be any improvement, and he's the one who's going to go.
All right, John, fair enough. Very cogent kind of argument that John made. Let's go back to the phones, though. Let's go to Clarence in Baltimore. Clarence, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
I think that I'm going to give Kevin Davis the dignity of calling him a human being that was stuck in an impossible position. And I asked the question, how do you reconstruct a functional, criminal, good old boys club with guns?
Mm.
You know, I mean, that Baltimore City Police Department, is that issue is very deep, and it takes nothing less than the National Guard to come in and take all the guns away, disband them, and start from scratch. That's what needs to happen. Now, Kevin Davis, he's just like you either have to call a man a bumbling racist idiot or you have to give him, you know, the human being just like you and I. And that's a functional criminal good old boys club with guns there.
Well, I think that I think your comments resonate with a lot of people. Clarence, thank you for that. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888 is the number. We're asking the question of our listeners, given the record violence, record homicides that we've seen this year, over the last 3 years, quite frankly, two of them, Police Commissioner Kevin Davis was at the helm. The question is, should the police commissioner be fired or is he being upheld as a convenient scapegoat for issues, problems that have been pervasive within this department for decades, generations? Let's go back to the phones, though. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Iris next. Iris, you are on First Edition. What do you think?
Hi, Sean. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Of course.
Basically, I think yes and yes.
Okay.
Yes, he should be fired, and yes, he's a scapegoat. You don't get to be a politician in Baltimore without playing the game, and so therefore he's culpable in some ways. But also, this is obviously a large and systemic problem, and I agree as often with Brother Leo in his understanding of the situation. I don't understand how we know nothing about who has done these murders, but yet it's black-on-black crime. I'm a white woman, I'm a city school teacher, and I've had several of my students affected by violence over the last 11 years, and a lot of times it really does come out of nowhere, and you have to wonder, who is really killing these people? Are we sure? Are we 100% sure that it is these beautiful young black boys killing each other? Are we sure that there's not something else happening? And also, if city school teachers could get overtime, I would be pro it. Thank you.
Right. Iris and Waverly, thank you for your call. Interesting comment. Very interesting comments. And that's not the first time that I've heard that suggestion. Do we really know who's killing who in the city? Interesting. 410-319-8888 is the number. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Kendall J. in Baltimore next. Kendall J., you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Hey, Sean, how you doing, man?
All right, bro.
Listen, I don't think that Kevin should be fired at this time.
All right.
However, what I don't hear is, I don't hear people talking about the judicial system that we have here in Baltimore and in the state of Maryland. I mean, I work in the community with youth between the ages of 18 and 24 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
These kids walk around and they talk about killing one another like homicide is like a badge of honor.
Mm.
You know, they commit these crimes, and for the ones that they do catch, like, they don't hold them accountable enough, man. Like, when you think about killing somebody, you should automatically, like, the fear of God should be in you.
Wow.
These kids are not intimidated by our judicial system. They're not.
I mean, you conduct
themselves now. It's like you kill somebody. It's like, you know, it's almost like you punch somebody in the face. And that is the impression.
I don't mean to. I would say this, Kendall, and you made a really powerful point. They don't have the fear of God in them. Maybe if you don't know who God is, you don't know how to fear him. I think that's just kind of a obvious observation as far as that's concerned. But I appreciate your passion, brother. I appreciate the you calling in and making your comments. 410-319-8888 is the number. Let's go to Arnold in downtown. Arnold, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I was just listening to the last caller.
Yeah.
I agree with him. I have a number of police friends, policemen, police officers, and one of the things I hear from them is the fact that, hey, I arrest you today, and you know what? You're staring in my face tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
You're laughing at me. So it's more than just the police. You know, something has to happen with our courts. These people do have to be held accountable. The other thing is we have a humongous drug problem. One of the stats about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were talking about folk not being able to find jobs.
Right.
One of the problems is they can't pass the drug test. And there's so many of them. There are eons of people that can't pass the drug test. No, I think Kevin Davis should stay. I don't see what firing him is going to do. There are some systematic changes that need to be made in the department. And I would think that not just the police department should be held accountable for all of these homicides, I think the community and the judicial system has to play their part. They have to be stronger and more determined in helping us clean up the streets.
All right. Arnold, thank you for your call, man. We appreciate you. 410-319-8888 as we wind down the segment. Let's go to Sean in Baltimore. Sean, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Good afternoon, brother. How are you?
All right, brother.
First of all, district in my opinion, being a native from Baltimore all my life, I think that the political system we already know is screwed up when you have foolish men such as Donald Trump in office. The problem existed before this commissioner came to Baltimore. And the problem also exists the fact that there's no conscience, there's no respect, and the mindset of these young brothers in this city, it starts at home, man. I came from a large family. We have respect, first of all, for our elders, for our parents. These young brothers have no respect or regard for life, period. So if you give us the recreational centers, if you build more schools, you do, what difference is it going to make if you have the same mentality that you have no regard for life?
Okay.
It's appalling, man.
Okay.
And we need to stop using excuses for any other culture or people to blame for what we're doing to each other. While it's a tragedy that police officers are taking our lives like it's a game, it's even more a tragedy that I can't walk down Broadway and Iger Street after 12 o'clock at night for fear of my life.
All right.
Why?
Fair enough, Sean. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Winding down the time in the segment, let's go to Tony in West Baltimore. Tony, you're on First Edition. What do you think? Tony, you need to turn down your radio, bro. Tony, you there? All right, let's move on. Let's go to Troy in Baltimore County. Troy, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
How you doing, Sean?
All right, brother.
I think it has. I mean, there's really no personal individual can do. I don't think Kevin Davis or nobody can actually do this. I think it got a lot to do with these young cats telling each other, man. I think some of it got to do with some of the music, man. This rap music, this thug mentality, this celebration of being a tough guy, it's not all, but it has some of that have to. Because during the 70s and the 80s, when we didn't have that, that has something, I believe, to do with some of the killing. All right.
Okay, Tony, thank you. Troy, rather, thank you. Let's go to, is it Cornell in Baltimore? Cornell, you're on First Edition. What do you think?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, brother.
And you know what?
What's that?
I feel, though, you can talk all you want to, but you're not going to find any any answers to the problems that we have. I shot dope for 40 years, Sean.
Okay.
I shot dope for 40 years.
Okay.
And the way the game is now, which I don't shoot dope anymore, but the way it is now, these kids out here, it's just unbelievable. The last three calls is absolutely right. Hmm. They have no respect. They don't care. And unless they make, and this is how I feel about it, unless they make some strong laws about that, that juvenile court and all that, they kill somebody and they go to juvenile court, stay for 2-3 years, they back out on the street, that's not going to work, Sean.
Okay.
It isn't. That's how I feel about it.
All right,
okay, my man?
All right, bless you, Cornell, for staying clean for some time. We appreciate, happy about that, and we appreciate all of our callers for calling in and making their feelings and their insights known. We never take your calls for granted. We always appreciate them, the smartest callers on the air. So we thank you, and we are going to go to a quick break. When we come back, the second hour of First Edition, we will talk to the sister, Pia Jordan. She's project director of the Tuskegee Army Nurses. Keep them flying. It's going to be a great conversation. You don't want to miss that, and you don't want to miss Iorio Digizua taking over the show at the back end of the show. Her interview with ABC News Entertainment producer Joy Marie McKenzie is coming up as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to First Edition.